Lord, unveil us.
Amen.
Lord, unveil us, unveil us, unveil us.
Amen.
Lord, we agree with what is on your heart.
Amen.
We would all have a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Lord, to the full knowledge of you.
Amen.
Full knowledge of what you're after.
Amen.
Lord, show us more.
Amen.
We would be under a clear and controlling vision.
Amen.
Oh, may it direct our heart.
Amen.
For this whole weekend.
Amen.
And Lord, for our whole life.
Amen.
Until we all arrive at the consummation.
Amen.
Lord, the consummation of the divine history.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Wow, we've got more people than we had last night. If we get more than this, we're in trouble. But that's good trouble. No fire.
Just inside.
That's right. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
As you were singing, I thought, wow, just keep singing. No need for a message. But I guess we need to speak a little something. And for the sake of those who were not with us for the whole time yesterday, of course we're speaking about the divine history, which is another way to describe the carrying out of God's plan. God, as we saw last night, has a purpose. He had a good pleasure. God is not some wimp in the heavens, disinterested and detached from what is going on here. Rather, God is full of purpose.
Amen.
Full of desire.
Amen.
He's driven by this. As we shared last night, he wants a group of people. God is perfect. And God could survive. God could go on the way he was alone. Yet as a human male needs a female to complete him, so God also desires a counterpart to be his completion. And just like the human male desires the female, so God, that's just a picture of how God desires his counterpart. Oh, we need to touch his heart.
Amen.
We need to see what is on his heart,
amen,
that we could be in it.
Amen.
You want to be happy?
Amen.
Do you want to be healthy?
Amen.
Do you?
Amen.
Surely we all do. Oh, so you need to see, and you need to be. God wants a group, but not merely a group. He wants a group in Christ. Christ is the beloved. Christ is God's choice. So this group that God desires, Christ is the very sphere and the very element in which God will realize this group. This group, as a matter of fact, as we saw last night, is just Christ himself.
Amen.
Reproduced.
Amen.
This is what God wants to do. This is radical.
Yes.
You don't hear this everywhere. God wants to reproduce Christ. That is his counterpart. So there is an organic entity that he wants to bring forth, to be a body for Christ, to be a house for God. God is the dweller, and God is the life inside. And human beings are the outward framework. That's what we're doing here today. We're being fitted and we're being framed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mark, we've been framed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And ultimately, there will be a spectacle of spectacles. That is, a universal incorporation. Man joined to, mingled with, and incorporated with God Himself.
Amen.
So when you look at that group of people, the only way you could describe it is the way Ezekiel described that city at the end of his book in the Old Testament. You look at that, and all you could say, all you can, the words you could use to describe it is, oh, it's people, but the Lord is there.
Amen.
The Lord is there!
Amen.
You know, as I look here and as I listen to your singing this morning, I just had to say, ah, the Lord is here.
Amen.
This is so good. You know, you see all kinds of people. You know, when I was a Christian years ago, we used to have a song, Red and Yellow, Black and White. They are precious in His sight. The only problem was where I was, they were all white. But anyway, you know, we enjoyed singing that. But you know, today, here we are, red and yellow, black and white. Hallelujah!
Amen.
A group of people. Listen. That you're eating God.
Amen.
As the living bread. And you know something? You're starting to look like Him. You know, the brothers, there's a smile on my face. There's a spring in my step. That's right. You know, that smile on the face, that's not a small thing. The smile on the face, the spring in the step, that is God's expression. Do you realize that? You know, you look today, you look at people today, there's not that much smile on the face. There's the wrinkle in the brow. Not the smile on the face. There's the shuffling, the dragging of the feet. Not the spring in the step. Oh, we're right in the middle of what God is doing.
Amen.
And oh, I have a burden that we would be more in the middle.
Amen.
We would be in the middle the whole day.
Amen.
I've got rivers of life.
Amen.
Flowing out of my innermost being.
Amen.
God is, and we need to be. Then, oh, there's Satan. That's what God wants to do. That's what the spring and the step is for. There he is. Let's get him. Ah! Right? God will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The smile on the face, that is for God. The spring in the step, that is for Satan. I got to watch it. I won't even get to the message. Well, that is what God wants. And it's no joke, but it's so enjoyable. We can't help but smile. There's Ira. Stop smiling, Ira. Amen. Well, how will God do it? This is the second thing we saw last night. God wants this entity. How will He get it? He said, He formulated in His mind a group fitted, joined to Me, incorporated with Me, looking like Me. And He, oh, I want it. Oh, I want it. Have you ever wanted something? Oh, God wants something. Oh, I want it. And then the will comes in. I'm going to get it. And this is how I'm going to get it. We call it God's economy. That is His arrangement. He has an arrangement. You want to be happy? You want to be healthy? You have to come in line with that arrangement. If you don't, you'll just be like those people. That's why they're like that. They were made for something. And they have not found out. That's why you have to go and tell them. Mm-hmm. You know, is there like that? You need to go up to them. With a smile on your face. God, friend, God has a plan. What? What? God has a plan. I thought he was dead. You know, there used to be this movement, God is dead. No, he's not dead. He has a plan. Amen. And it involves you. Then, you know, from the wrinkled brow, you got the, oh. And then you tell them. I'm not joking. You tell them. God's plan is to distribute something. Oh, distribute something? Oh, money? No, not money. Himself.
Amen.
Himself. God himself. Yeah. You have to realize God wants you to inherit him. Have you considered that? You know, I'm going to read it in a minute. I'm going to read some verses we didn't have time to read last night. God wants you to inherit him. So he has made himself available. He's distributing, dispensing himself all the time. And it's not just a one-shot deal. You know, a lot of Christians say, well, I'm saved. That's it. Think about it. A lot of Christians are like that. They get saved. They experience God's dispensing initially. But then somebody lies to them and tells them that's all there is. So they sit there, they look back, 20 years ago, I got saved. And then they look forward, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But right now, I don't know what I'm doing. What a lie. What a lie. God's plan is to dispense himself.
Amen.
Just getting saved, that's only the beginning. So the person, remember we're talking to this person now. That's only the beginning. Every day he wants to, till you've got rivers of life flowing out of your innermost being.
Amen.
You can't wipe it. Look at Ira, he's still smiling. You can't wipe that smile off your face.
Amen.
I've got rivers of life flowing out of my innermost being.
Amen.
And it's not just you, but it's all of us.
Amen.
Oh, this is God's plan.
Amen.
To distribute himself. And you know, he is drink, he is breath, he is food, not like that half-baked donut that just clang. Oh. No, God is food. Once he gets inside of you, this food is full of purpose. Because it's living bread.
Amen.
Actually, it's a person that's the food.
Amen.
Oh, he's there. Ah, I'm in. I'm in. Not like that donut. Come on, digest me. Quick. Come on. Digest me. No, he's there. Here's where the human analogy breaks down. You know, this food digests himself. Tissues, fibers. I'm taking over. I'm gonna make you me. And the more you take him in, you know, the problem is sometimes the Lord has been for a long time. Feed me. Drink me. Breathe me. But you know we don't. But the more that we do, tissues, fibers, constitution. The Bible calls that growing up into the head. We all need to grow up into the head.
Amen.
And the result is the Christ.
Amen.
Christ plus the body,
right,
which is just Christ.
Amen.
It's his tissue. We're his tissue. We're his fiber. We're his constituents. This makes me crazy. This is what God is. This is the divine history.
Amen.
It's going on right now, right within you.
Amen.
You know, that's the divine history. This is what we call mingling.
Amen.
Dispensing, that's to get in. But once he's in, we've got the mingling. When you eat food, right away something happens. You don't eat that donut. By the way, I won't say it. I won't say don't eat donuts. I'll just say that to myself. But you know, you eat that donut. You don't have to say to your digestive system, okay, start digesting now. You don't have to do that. Spontaneously, right away, that donut becomes you, and you become, sorry, a donut. That's a picture, and it's poor. That's a poor picture. But think about it. That is a picture. Think about it. Our unique food, our God-ordained food, is God himself.
Amen.
He wants to distribute himself, to dispense himself continuously into us so that he is working there to mingle himself with us.
Amen.
So we become him. There's a smile on our face.
Amen.
Oh, that mind, that emotion, and that will that God created, which we'll see in a moment, fulfills its function. To what? Express God. So we have these three words: dispensing, mingling, and expression. God's purpose is expression. His way to get it is dispensing and mingling. Never forget this.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, there was a point I skipped last night. But God is sovereign. And that is that this whole scheme was hidden in God for centuries. This, what we are talking about right now, was hidden. It was a secret. People didn't know that God had such a pleasure, had such a purpose, had such a plan. Until you talk about red letter dates or red number dates. Red dates. My. The Apostle Paul said, it's been made known. It's been made known to the apostles and the prophets who are in spirit.
Amen.
That's why we need to be in our spirit.
Amen.
Oh, when we sing in our spirit, even when you're listening to me, listen in your spirit.
Amen.
Don't let your mind wander this morning. Somebody, that is Satan, hates what we're saying. So he'll distract you. He'll get you to think about that. Think all over the place. Think about what's for lunch. Think about what you had for breakfast. Think, am I becoming a sausage? You know, I'm not joking. Satan would do anything to distract you from what we are saying. This mystery, this was hidden.
Yes.
But in spirit.
Amen.
Let's all declare, hallelujah, I have a spirit.
Hallelujah, I have a spirit.
Now let's all declare, hallelujah, I will exercise my spirit.
Hallelujah, I will exercise my spirit.
We have a spirit.
Yes.
To see and in which we can fight this enemy.
Amen.
Don't try and fight him on your own. You'll lose. Even the Lord Jesus, when Satan came, he says, it is written. Satan, the Lord, it is written, boom. It is written, boom. We use the word, we use our spirit. Anyway, this scheme was made known to the apostles and the prophets in spirit, especially the Apostle Paul. And you know, Satan didn't like it. I was telling Mark when we were on the ferry yesterday, when we were coming over, that Paul eventually was imprisoned in Rome. And when he was in Rome, he wrote this book of Ephesians that comprises so much of your outline. And Colossians and Philippians. In those books, I tell you, God's plan, his economy is just opened up. Paul said it was hidden, but now it has been revealed. But you know, Satan knew what was coming. So if you read carefully in Acts 21, 22, 23, those chapters, you realize that Satan stirred up religious people to do what? To kill Paul. They were laying wait for him. They were going to ambush him. They were going to kill him. Satan, but then God, so foiled again. That's Satan, foiled again. Paul eventually got to Rome, to a nice, peaceful jail. I'm not joking. And there he wrote, the light poured down and Paul wrote, and today we've got it.
Amen.
We've got it. Amen. And in spirit, you'll really get it.
Amen.
The hidden mystery is now revealed in spirit.
Amen.
What? That God wants us to be his inheritance.
Wow.
You know, the more God dispenses, the more you are what? Inheriting God. On God's side, it's dispensing. On our side, it's inheriting. It's inheriting. And the more you inherit that God who is dispensing himself, the more you will become his inheritance. You become mingled with God. You become saturated with God. You become God. Did you hear what I said? Of course, I don't mean God like you worship. No. My son has my life, he has my nature, and he looks like me from the back. But he does not have my fatherhood. He's got my life, he's got my nature.
Oh, Lord.
And he looks like me from the back. And sometimes he acts like me,
oh Lord,
but he doesn't have my fatherhood, right? So with us. Do you have God?
Yes.
Don't be chickens. Under this roof, we have to be bold so that under that sky, we'll be bold.
Yes.
Do you have God?
Yes.
Good. Do you have his life?
Yes.
Do you have his nature?
Yes.
Do you look like him?
Yes.
Are you acting like him?
Yes.
Right, you don't have to get crazier.
Amen.
So, who are you?
God.
Well, the decibels were a little lower. Listen, in life and in nature, the Bible clearly says so. We are God.
Amen.
Not in the Godhead. We would never be worshipped. But we're like our daddy.
Amen.
We are like our daddy.
Amen.
We look like him from the front. You see, so when God sees the issue of all that dispensing, when he sees the issue of all of that mingling, all of that saturating, he says, why, that's just me. I'll inherit it. It's mine. That is my counterpart. That is my wife. That is my house. That is my body. Call it whatever you want. This was made known to the apostles and prophets in spirit.
Amen.
Isn't this great?
Yes.
We're inheriting God.
Amen.
And God eventually will inherit us.
Amen.
Here, have me. And then we'll say, Lord, here, have us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the more you're under the dispensing and in the mingling, the quicker that'll happen. That's why I'm here this weekend. Well, I was going to read through some verses, but my inner boss, who told me not to eat a second sweet roll this morning, is telling me to go on to message 2.
Amen. Amen.
So, amen, boss.
Amen.
But this is a good boss. So let us go on. We see God's purpose and we see God's plan. Now, how historic creation is. Creation, that is the preparation. The preparation for the carrying out of God's plan. I tell you, creation is no accident. What is out there is no accident.
Amen.
And it's not for itself.
Amen.
It is not out there just for itself, for us to admire. No! That is the preparation. You have to be consumed with this vision of pleasure, purpose, plan, dispensing, mingling, expression. Then you see everything in terms of that. This is what the Apostle Paul. That's why you couldn't, they had to cut him down. Eventually he was martyred because he saw that and he was just, everything he saw in terms of that. He was just going for that, going for that, going for that. That was the prize. Ah! Paul was just like God. He was driven. We all need to be like that. I'm burdened. Day after day, I'm becoming more like that. I'm crazy. I don't care for anything else. You know, I'm shy. I am. Ask my son. I'm shy. I don't like to speak. I don't like to travel. But I'm here. By the Lord cover me. By His grace, I'm driven.
Amen.
I don't care about my quietness. I don't care about my shyness.
Amen.
Oh, I've seen something. Amen. I want you all to see.
Amen.
I want all of us to be driven.
Amen.
Think about it. If a room full of 200 some people in the Northwest are driven, they see something. My goodness, if 12 people turned the world upside down at the beginning, how about us? Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Creation is the preparation.
Amen.
Another P. We have 3 more P's this morning. Those that came in late, we have a lot of P's. And my name is Paul. Praise the Lord. There's another one.
Amen.
The preparation for the divine history, for the carrying out of God's plan, His economy, to dispense and mingle Himself into and with man for His expression.
Amen.
Creation is the setting. Creation is the setting for the carrying out of God's purpose. I'm on point A now. We're making progress. The carrying out of God's purpose with His creature, man. If we don't see this, we will never understand creation, or we will misinterpret or misuse or wrongly emphasize creation. It is the setting for the carrying out of this purpose through His plan. Creation is the initiation of the carrying out of the divine history. When God said, "Let there be light." Oh, this wasn't just, "Well, what shall I do today? Oh, I think I'll say, 'Let there be light.'" No. This is a driven person. He knows exactly what he's after. So, point one, there's darkness, let there be light. First day, second day, boom. Third day, boom. Fourth day, boom. Fifth day, boom. Sixth day, boom. A big boom on the sixth day. Then what did he say? Very good. Very good. Then he took a little rest because he got what he wanted.
Amen.
Creation is purposeful. It's not accidental. You need to see God's pleasure, purpose, and plan. You would never listen to this kind of stuff. Oh, by accident, all of a sudden, oh, there was a blob. There just happened to be a blob there, a life blob. And the life blob somehow became a fish. And somehow that life blob that became a fish grew legs, Warren. And came out of the water. And somehow that fish that was a life blob that grew legs that crawled out of the water became a monkey. And that, Warren, is your great-great-great-great-grandfather. Ridiculous! It didn't just happen. There's no accident here. This matches God's pleasure.
Amen.
Creation matches, we will see here momentarily, to the details. It matches God's purpose and God's plan. I tell you, you see this, this vision will head you up for your whole life.
Amen.
Everything is just right. In creation, just right. That's why the Lord said, very good, very good. It is just right. There's a wonderful verse, Zechariah 12:1. It talks about, He stretched forth, that is God, stretched forth the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and then did what? Formed the spirit of man within Him. Dear young people, the spirit of man is the center of the universe,
Amen.
According to God's thought. Isn't it strange that until recently, we never even heard we had a spirit? Some of us. Isn't that strange? It's the center of the universe. Somebody's been hiding this. And I tell you, scientists will have to admit, the heavens are just right for the earth. And the earth is just right, except it's a little too hot in Orange County right now. But we're surviving. Especially me, I'm up here. This is great. But it's just right. The earth is just right for who? Thought it was the humpback whale. Maybe. But the earth, I tell you, is made to be just right for man.
Amen.
For man to do what? It's just like God said, to be fruitful and to be multiplied so that God would get that group. God, remember, wants that group. Point B, the clear statement of God's purpose, verses that we all know, reiterating His eternal purpose, are in the very first chapter of the Bible. Genesis 1:26-28. Tim, could I ask you to stand up and read those, brother, please? Our speaking is based on the Word of God. Even though we don't read it, we don't quote it because we're battling the clock, I'd like you all to realize everything in your outline is based on the Word of God.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image,
Amen.
According to our likeness,
Amen.
And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea,
Amen.
And over the birds of heaven,
Amen.
And over the cattle, and over all the earth,
Amen.
And over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
Amen.
And God created man in His own image.
Amen.
In the image of God, He created him.
Amen.
Male and female, He created them.
Amen.
And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it,
Amen.
And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
You notice, let them.
Let them.
You see, this is a group. This is a corporate man that God created. Why? That purpose. And what are they supposed to do? I just mentioned, be fruitful and multiply. Many, many. God's thought from eternity past. God's thought as he created. Many sons, many members, many brothers, many grains. Many, 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 many.
Amen.
God's got a big heart.
Amen.
Fill the earth, subdue. Remember that creep? Creeping things. Ha. Have dominion and express. Expression clearly implied with the two words image and likeness. This is what we'd like to spend a moment on now. Point C. Man's creation in more particular clearly indicates God's intention to dispense and mingle for his expression in Christ. Point one, a corporate man we just saw. Let them, a corporate man. And then man was made what? In God's image. God's image is somewhat inward. It is not the most inward, but it is somewhat something in man, somewhat inwardly, was made in God's image. What does this mean? Sometimes we've heard words and they become just terminology to us. I hope this morning that this word image will be more meaningful. When we say image, that means that just like God had a thought, just like God had a feeling, and just like God had made a decision, man is made in the same way. Man was made a living soul. That is, he has a mind, he has an emotion, and he has a will. But that mind, that emotion, and that will, as we'll see in a moment, is matching God's with a view to being the vessel to contain God's mind, emotion, and will.
Amen.
For God's expression. You realize our thinking, our feeling, our deciding, these are what expresses what is within us. Right?
Yeah.
You know, if I just sit here like this, you know, no fire. You know, I'm just like a blob. I'm just like that life blob. But we were made in God's image. We have a mind. Oh, we can think. And we have an emotion. Oh, we have feelings. We love and we hate. You know, you also need to hate. Not that brother next to you. You need to hate the enemy.
Amen.
You need to hate all his tactics.
Amen.
The Lord said he hated the works of the Nicolaitans. Hate. Why? Because it paralyzes his body.
Amen.
You see, we love, we hate. This expresses. And we have a will to decide, to choose. This is our expression. God made us this way, not to be independent agents, but to be containers, to be vessels for him to fill. There's a group of people on the earth thinking God's thoughts, loving what God loves, hating what God hates, choosing what God chooses.
Amen.
How about that? Oh, Satan, this is what Satan doesn't want. That's why he says, be your own person. Be your own person. Be your own man. This kind of talk. But once people see this vision, then Satan, oh, no. Oh, no. Next thing you know, there'll be the smile on the face. And then the next thing you know, there'll be the spring in the step. And I'm through. No joke. Not only with a mind, emotion, and will, but little b, with human attributes that correspond to, that match the divine attributes of God. God's attributes, love, light, holiness, righteousness, the four main ones. Don't you love? We all love to an extent. You know, years ago, there was this song, a popular song, "What the World Needs Is Love, Sweet Love." You know, there was a kind of that kind of an atmosphere. You remember that, don't you, Mark? You know, there's kind of an atmosphere, you know. And that works for a while, you know. Oh, love, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yet there is something within us that wants to love that matches God. And God intends for that matching love, that virtue, that human attribute, human virtue, to be the vehicle through which he could express his love. That is his thought. That's why within us we love. And we like to be in the light. Even physically, we hate the darkness. You know, my cabin, you know, I turned all the lights off and then I was, where am I? You know, the washroom, no windows, you know, over to turn the light, where am I? Feeling around for the light. We don't like to be in the dark, physically or psychologically. Mm-hmm. We're really uncomfortable when we're in the dark. Then our brow becomes really wrinkled. We like the light. And we have a matching desire for holiness. We don't want to be common. We would like to be pure. We would like to be holy. We would like to be set apart. We would like to be special. Right? And also righteousness. We want to be right with our wife if we're married. You do. You want to be right with your wife, let me tell you. You want to be right with your roommate. You want to be right with your parents. We have an inclination deep down for these things. But little C says that all of this, our soul and our matching attributes, are like a vessel, a bottle, needing the God-ordained content and filling. And the God-ordained contact and filling is God Himself. Amen. Without this, life is meaningless. I was reminded the other day of Pascal, you know, the mathematician. He studied about vacuum. And then he made a statement. He said, man's heart, in man's heart, there is a God-shaped vacuum, which only God can fill. Amen. And you're not going to be happy until God fills it.
Amen.
There's a God-shaped hole in your being. Your soul is God-shaped. You're not going to be happy until you have the filling. I've told the story, you know, about my son. You know, we had this little toy for him. It was a globe, and it had different shapes, you know, and you put the block into the shape. Of course, kids, you know, they don't understand that. He picks up the round one, and there's a square hole, and he's... You know, when the kids grow up, they still do that, except they don't, but they just walk around. Am I right? That's why people are out there walking around like with the wrinkled brow. It's that little kid trying to put the square block into the round hole. You were made for God! Yeah. But you're trying to fill that hole with education, with entertainment, with success, with this, with that. It won't fit. And it frustrates you. You keep, oh, no, no, I want it to fit. I want it to fit. Mommy! But it won't fit. We were made in God's image.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
What a revelation. Amen. Only God will fit.
Amen.
This is the gospel.
Amen.
You go and tell people, you know, with the wrinkled brow, friend, your brow is wrinkled because only God fits in your little hole. Augustine said, oh, God made us for himself. And we're restless until we find rest in him. We're empty until we find filling in him.
Amen.
This is the meaning of image. I don't know if you've ever considered it in this way. Then man was made very specifically for God's purpose and plan, with likeness, God's likeness outwardly. Man is of the same class as God. And by that I mean, if you read the Old Testament, in Genesis 18, Abraham was sitting in the tent, and he looked and he saw three men. Well, the men turned out to be, the number one man was God, appearing in that likeness, looked like a man. And the other two were angels. But to Abraham, it was three men. Then after he conversed for a while, he said, ooh. Sarah, stop laughing. It's God. It's God. We're made, whatever that fully means, we're made outwardly in his likeness.
Amen.
Purposefully for the carrying out of his purpose. Then I have to hurry. Inwardly, most inwardly, oh, we were made with a spirit.
Amen.
Are you the same as a chimpanzee?
No.
How about an orangutan?
No.
How about a gorilla?
No.
How about a fish with legs?
No.
How about a life blob?
No.
None of those things have a spirit. But when God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, man received an organ with that breathing.
Amen.
As the outline shows, there's a Hebrew word, neshama. Neshama means breath. In Genesis 2:7, neshama is the word used for the breath of life. When it is with God, it is his breath. When it comes into us, it becomes our spirit.
Amen.
Because the same word is used in Proverbs 20:27, the neshama of man. And we translate it, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Oh, that is not God's life, but that is something very close to God. A linking organ. Our spirit is the missing link.
Yes.
I'm not joking. Our spirit is the missing link.
Amen.
You know, did you ever hear that expression, the missing link? People always looking for the missing link. I tell you, I say this with assurance, man's spirit is the missing link.
Amen.
And it links us with God himself.
Amen.
Our spirit is an organ whereby we can contact God. You see how carefully man was made? Oh, ah, with his likeness, in his image, that is for God's expression. And with a spirit, ha-ha, that is for God's economy. Very carefully, very specifically. Because he wants that group
to be his body, to consummate in the New Jerusalem. You know, we all get excited, New Jerusalem, hallelujah, right? And then you go, hallelujah, amen. You know, that was written in Korea. The Korean saints, you know, they're like, in the body of Christ, they're like the foot for the gas pedal. So it's not just enough to sing, you have to add hallelujah, amen. But I tell you, we say hallelujah, amen when we talk about the New Jerusalem. Amen. Our spirit is the organ whereby we can contact God. And not only contact God, we can, what? Receive God. When the Lord came into you, when you said, oh, Lord Jesus, and it was too late when you did that, praise the Lord. You said, oh, Lord Jesus. You know, talk about a vacuum, you know, with those old coffee cans, you know, you open them up. What was the air going in or out? In, sorry. I should read more of Pascal. No, I shouldn't. You know, you open it up. Said, oh, Lord Jesus. Actually, Paul, when he was saved, he didn't say, oh, Lord Jesus. He said, who are you, Lord? Where did the Lord come in? When you said, Lord Jesus, to your spirit.
Amen.
That's why you're not like a monkey, and a monkey is not like you. None of the other beings have a spirit.
Amen.
Our spirit is our organ. This is what you're supposed to memorize. Our spirit is our organ to receive God.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Man has an organ to receive God.
Amen.
Why? Because God has a purpose and he has a plan.
Amen.
Therefore, we have a spirit.
Amen.
I'm excited about this. I wish we all would be. Not only to receive God, listen, to receive him in an enjoyable way as food. Because our spirit also, are you ready? Digests God. Our spirit can digest God and can assimilate God. Just like your physical stomach, which is the physical parallel to your spirit, can receive food, digest food, and assimilate food so that the food becomes part of you. So your spirit can receive God, can digest God, can assimilate God so that you eventually look like God. For his expression. Oh, we have a spirit. Oh, this is the most intimate way with God as food for us to contact and receive God. You know, in human beings, there is some residual indication of this, that God made us with the intention to know him by eating him. You know, the little kids, we used to do daycare. I was getting a PhD, and I got it, by the way, for whatever it's worth. I got it. But while we were doing it, we were doing daycare in our home. So we had a lot of little kids crawling around. They'd crawl into my study, and I'd be reading Cicero or Virgil. Those aren't names for cats. Those were writers. Anyway, I was reading that, and this little kid, you know, would walk in there and, come on, pick me up, you know, so I'd pick him up, you know. But then they would be crawling around sometime, and you realize, whoa, something's in your mouth. Something's in their mouth. So I say, open that little mouth. And out would come a penny. Ooh, not so good.
You see, within a little child, the way, the instinctive way they would know something is to put it in their mouth. So within us, there is an instinctive indication why God made us. What God's intention was for us. That is, even on the physical side, the intention in making us was to take God in.
Amen.
The problem is, when we grow up, we get educated. Of course, we shouldn't eat pennies. But we become educated. You know what I mean. You all know. So we're less and less inclined to be simple and just take God in. Praise the Lord, in this retreat, we're, I hope, becoming simplified.
Amen.
Once again, I have a spirit.
Amen.
Under the light of God's purpose and His plan, I'm so happy I have a spirit.
Amen.
My main purpose to be here on earth is just to eat God.
Amen.
I want to eat God.
Amen.
What will happen when I eat God? In my spirit, God will begin to be digested. You say, oh, that's terrible. That sounds so awful. That is sacrilegious. Well, it's sacrilegious, right? Well, then why did Jesus say, I'm the bread of life? Why did the Lord Jesus say, I am the water, the living water? I'll give you living water.
Amen.
Why is the Lord called the Lamb of God? Ha. Satan is fighting. But I tell you this morning, I give you a gospel word. God is good for food.
Amen.
God wants you to eat Him.
Amen.
We'll see in a minute. We have another P, a picture. We have a picture that really shows that. God wants to be our food. The way to know God, you have to be like that little child. And you have to take Him in to your spiritual mouth.
Yes.
Then you will know why you were made. Little D. Oh, Mark, what about the time? Man thus being an eating vessel. Let's go a little quicker. Absolutely prepared for dispensing, mingling, and expression. Let me ask you, what is eating? What is, when you eat God, what are you in? You are in dispensing. When you digest God, what are you in? Mingling. When you assimilate God, mingling. Then when you start to look like God, what is that? Expression. This is God's thought. Isn't this profound? Oh, how complicated humanity has become. I'd like to spend a couple of minutes on five. God's profound initial steps with the created man. In Genesis 2, verse 8 and 9. Tim, could you read 7, 8, and 9 again for us quickly? Genesis 2, 7, 8, and 9. Hallelujah for our spirit.
Amen. And man became a living soul.
Amen.
And Jehovah God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food.
Amen.
As well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
No, that's good enough. What did God do? This is profound. He planted a garden. Did God build a college? Did God construct a library? You know, you look at religion today, you would think that's what God did. Did God build a factory? You know, people today think you got to do. Come on, Warren, do something. Serve God. Serve. Do. Behave. Here's a book. Memorize it. Do it. Isn't that the way religion is? Come on, but I can't. Come on, make up your mind. We'll help you. I'm not joking. God planted a garden.
Amen.
Think about it. What did God do? I mean, God could have done anything. He's God. But what did God do? He planted a garden.
Amen.
What do you do in a garden? I feel like this is a kindergarten class. Dick and Jane, what do we do in a garden? Well, we grow things. And what do we grow in the garden? We grow trees. Let's open up our coloring book now and color the tree. You know, I'm being simple like a fox. Lord, forgive me. Because we are so complicated. And God is so profoundly simple and purposeful. Planted a garden where there were trees. And what about these trees, Dick and Jane? They're good to look at, right? Is that all? It says they're pleasant to the sight. But is that all? No, these trees are what?
Good
for what?
Food.
Not ammunition? You know. Splat. No, they're good for food.
Amen.
And then right in the middle of the garden, right in the middle, can't miss it, there is what? The tree of life. Let me ask you, Dick and Jane, who is life? God himself is life. So this is the God tree. The tree of life is the embodiment of God to be our life. You see, this God, I tell you, he is driven, he is focused, he made man just right. Outward likeness, inward image, spirit. Then, very good. See, everybody, very good. Now what I will do is I will take this man and I will put him in a garden right in front of myself as life. But I am the tree of life. With fruit. Now, what do you suppose I want that man that I put right in front of that tree to do? It's good for food. There's your hint. I want him to eat me. I have made him in such a way to carry out my purpose, and now to do that, I want him to eat me.
Amen.
You know, this would be ridiculed. Oh, you can't do that. That is sacrilegious. How terrible. Listen to those people. You know, some religious people talk that way, but I tell you, the angels, you know, I was referring to the angels last night, they're watching. By the way, they're here right now. Do you know you all have an angel? And then there's probably others. They're all watching. They're, oh, isn't this wonderful? This is good. And if we could ask the trees out there, they'd say, oh, this is good. They're finally getting the point. God is good for food.
Amen.
That is God's dispensing. Oh, that tree, and you're eating of that tree, that is dispensing. Once that food gets into you, it knows what to do. It will mingle. You know, there's a song, mingle. It's like jingle, except it's mingle. Mingle. Growing up into the head. God's only command was not Adam and, you know, Adam and Eve, you have to behave yourself. You have to be good. You have to be good. No, God's only command was related to man's eating. Be careful which tree. You have to eat But be careful which tree. You need to eat me. And the eating will issue in our becoming one with him. His tissue, his fiber, his constituent will be wrought into us. That is the mingling. Point C, we are what we eat.
Amen.
That's what dietitians say. It's true. You are what you eat. People from the Far East, they come to the United States and they tell us that the people here smell like a cow. Seriously. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. That to them, to their nose, we smell like a cow. Because people here drink a lot of milk and a lot of dairy products. So, of course, you brothers were probably born here, right?
No.
You weren't. You came. Otherwise, you'd smell like a cow, too. Because we are what we eat physically. How much more spiritually? If we eat God, we will become God.
Amen.
That means we will become his expression. We will express God from within. Think about this. This is what God has in mind. From man's spirit, this God, with all his attributes, would spread into man's soul to be the divine content for man's corresponding human attributes or human virtues. And then even to man's body. This is what God has in mind.
Amen.
From your spirit. See, the more you eat, the more you drink, the more you breathe, you know, then the Lord from your spirit, that's where he first came in. He doesn't just want to stay there. The Lord doesn't just want to stay in your spirit. He wants to move out into your mind. So you think his thoughts, you feel his feelings, and you make his decisions. He wants to move out and eventually, this is what we call full salvation. You know, in Christianity, it's too poor, I'm sorry to say, just to be saved from hell. God wants to do something much more than that. He wants to save you from hell, that's for sure. But that is just the procedure so that he could get into you. It's just like your vessel is a little dirty. Well, we need to wash it out. We need to wash it out. Why do you wash your hands? To eat. Why do you clean a cup? To fill it.
Amen.
So God's intention is get into the spirit and then stay under the dispensing so that I can get into your soul and then keep under the dispensing so that I could even get into your body.
Amen.
This is what the Bible calls to be saved to the uttermost.
Amen.
Can you imagine God? You know, one of these days I'm going to do that and I'm going to just. This is my hope. Maybe it'll be at a retreat.
Amen.
Hey, where did that speaker go? Where did that crazy brother go? He's gone. Well, I hope you don't say that. I hope you go with me.
Amen.
Won't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Oh, even to our body.
Amen.
The Bible calls that glorification. Amen. That is why the trees, you know, when the trees see that, they'll go, woo! What a spectacle. I'm not joking.
Right.
It's true.
Amen.
Oh, this is what God wants.
Amen.
Do you like it?
Yes.
Answer me from your spirit.
Amen.
Do you like it?
Amen.
Oh, I love it.
Amen.
I don't like the clock. You know, in the New Jerusalem, there won't be time. That'd be wonderful. But now there still is. Oh, my, saturating our body with his element and thus gaining the expression, a corporate expression, remember, that he desired and for which he planned. Man can only be truly happy when he is in line with this purpose and plan. Now to quickly conclude, we may skip the problem. Let's skip the problem. We'll just crush the problem. But let's quickly look at the picture. Let me just read this. This picture from verse 10 to verse 23 in Genesis chapter 2 clearly illustrates dispensing, mingling, and expression. I tell you, these three words, like I said last night, are worth $1 million. The river, there's a river that flows out of the garden. That means those that eat God as their food, oh, something within them flows. It flows out to the four corners of the earth. This is so good that you want to go out. You want to flow out and let everybody, right, Ben? That's Ben back there. You know, a lot of people I know here. Ben and Emily, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Last time I saw them, they were two. Now they are one. Aren't you? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You want to flow out. You want to flow out. You want to flow out to everybody. And who is that wanting to flow out? That's God.
Amen.
He doesn't just want you. He wants the group. So when you eat him, oh, he goes, then within you, oh, and you can't fake this. It is so real. When you were singing, you weren't faking that. I have rivers of life flowing out of my innermost being. That's what happens when you eat God.
Amen.
A river flows
Amen.
In you and out from you to everybody.
Amen.
You know why you're afraid to go and talk to people? You don't drink enough. You don't eat enough. That's why I'm here. I'm here to tell you, you can do it all the time.
Amen.
And if you do that, Satan's got trouble. He's got a problem. Because you're going to flow out. The Northwest will be saturated.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It'll be more than just a lake. Oh. A river flows out from the garden where the tree of life is to the four corners of the earth, indicating God's desire to flow himself out. That is, through his eaters and through his enjoyers. To all mankind. So that all could be one, so that God could be one with man for God's expression. 1 Timothy has a verse, God desires all men to be saved. God would that everybody would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That means see what he's after. So as we enjoy, we flow out. And then the one we enjoy, as we said last night, is the living bread, who is also the living stone, according to what Peter says in 1 Peter 2. So as we enjoy him and as he mingles himself, the picture here shows precious stones, precious materials come out. Gold, delium, that's like a pearl, and onyx stone, that's a precious stone. Indicating the precious issue in man from the divine flow.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And these materials, very profound, issue in what? Well, in this picture, they issue in a couple. Well, what are materials for? They are for building, right? Gold, pearl, especially precious stones, they are for building. Yet the building in Genesis 2 is not a physical building, it's a couple. Oh, this is very meaningful. That means as we enjoy God and we are constituted into precious materials, that is, we inherit God, we become God, that means the issue is a personal building. A personal building, what we call an organic building, which today is the body of Christ, and tomorrow will be the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Don't think the New Jerusalem is a place. Whoa, you know, some people have an idea. Whoa, my goodness, look at this gold. Look at that gold street. Do you have a putty knife? No, it's a picture. It is a picture. You want to know what the New Jerusalem looks like?
Well, how about this? Do you want, you know what the New Jerusalem sounds like? Everybody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
That's what the New Jerusalem sounds like. And if you look around this morning, you'll see what the New Jerusalem looks like.
Amen.
The New Jerusalem is an organic building. It is people. On our last message, we'll see a precious personal product.
Amen.
But here in Genesis 2, we've got a picture of that. A man and a woman. Built out of the enjoyment of God. Out of God's dispensing and out of His mingling. And this woman, the last point, then I have to stop. This woman was... Our translation says made, but a shade of meaning in the Hebrew. That's right, she was built. If you look at the Amplified Bible, you'll see this is an English Bible that gives you all the shades of meaning. Actually, that woman was built. Isn't that something? It's a person, yet the person was built. And with what was the person built? She was built with what came out of the man. A rib, a living life element came out of the man, and with that, the woman was built.
Amen.
What a picture! That is the counterpart that God desires. That group that is blended, knit, and coordinated into an organic entity, a body. Oh, that group is constituted with God Himself,
Amen.
With His life. And His life is unbreakable.
Amen.
God built a woman.
Amen.
I'll tell you today, He's building another woman.
Amen.
Will that woman shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Will all the brothers in that woman shout a stronger hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
That's right, brothers. We're part of the woman. That woman is the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Where there cannot be male or female.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Today, God is fulfilling this picture that we see in Genesis 2. Oh, it is not good for the man to be alone. That's what God said for Adam, but God was really talking about Himself. So, by His life dispensing, by the mingling, God gets a complement, a counterpart for an organic building. As we go on through the Bible, this will become clearer and clearer. This is a blueprint of what God is doing here in Genesis chapter 2. Eventually, there will be the finished product.
Amen.
Well, as far as the problem is, there was a problem. Somebody got jealous. Somebody got ambitious. Somebody did something. He thought that he ruined what God wanted, but God turned the tables on him, and God even used what he did to get more glory for himself.
Amen.
And eventually, with a smile on our face and the spring in our step, we will crush this problem under our feet shortly.
Amen.
And everybody said,
hallelujah!
Praise the Lord. Okay, I have to stop here. Our time is gone.
Amen.
Mark, I don't know what we should do.